So, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is John Johnson on Radio Edutalk. Our guest tonight is Mags Almond, who is going to talk a wee bit about Teach Me. So, I'm really interested. Followed Mags on and off social media for a while. She's got a lot of interesting things to say. And I've also followed Teach Me for a long time. Good evening, Mags.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Radio Edutalk.
Yeah, and as we can hear, you're coming from Ireland. Whereabouts?
I'm in Cavan, which is on the border. There's a lot of talk about borders at the moment in Ireland, and I'm on the border between the north of Ireland and the Republic of Ireland in a small ex-market town.
Right, interesting place to be at these times.
Very.
Yeah, may you live in interesting times, as I say. And maybe you could give us a wee bit of background, Mags, about, you know, where you are, what your education story is, I guess.
I will, yeah. I came here to teach 35 years ago. I'm still here. I've retired, taught for all those years in a big girls' school, loved it, taught science, physics, chemistry, biology, a little bit of computer science.
It's 20 hours.
I'm retired but gone back to education. I got involved in Teach Me, really started to wonder, like a lot of people, what was in it? Why did we like it? So I signed up for a PhD in Trinity, and I'm very lucky because your namesake, Keith Johnston, is one of my supervisors, and a man who may be known to some listeners, Richard Millwood, is my other supervisor, both with an interest in this area of Teach Me as CPD, and I'm in my second year working with the two of them.
Brilliant. So what we're going to dig into a wee bit is Teach Me, and you've started already to give us an idea that, you know, you get questions around it. I've seen it described as the best CPD ever.
Yes.
A lot of other things I've seen described as the best CPD ever as well. So what sort of angle are you taking on, maybe, or a bit of context or background?
Well, what I started to do was, I did wonder, I walked out from one particular Teach Meet into a very rainy night, and I sort of wondered, what makes people do that? What makes people drive on a Friday evening, perhaps, 2 hours to go and visit with their colleagues and teach each other things? But 2 years ago, I was hiding from the sun in Tenerife, and I decided to start to look to see what were you lot, I mean, you yourself were involved at the very start. What was it about? What drove you lot to it? And you would not believe, John, how much I know about you and both Davids, you and Ian Stewart, all the people who are kind of, throwing remarks at each other in the very beginning. But when I looked at, that was fine. I could find lots and lots and lots of once upon a time stories from you. There was only one academic paper in the world on the subject of Teach Me, a beautiful piece of work by Liz Bennett called Guerrilla CPD. Like we call it, the teachers say it's the best CPD I've ever had. It's probably the most common thing that you read on Twitter or social media about a Teach Me. So Liz Bennett from Huddersfield, she called it Guerrilla CPD. She coined that term for it. And it sort of, it went along like that on the online blogs and wikis. I could find things like that for about 4 years. And fine, that would have been a nice happy ever after. But it was 2010, I remember, I read it myself at the time, and it took me a long time to go back and find it. John Connell, you know John Connell?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Lovely commentator. John wrote the first, let's say, critically thoughtful article that I could find, and he really put it up to us to, you know, said, well, what is it about? Is it something? Is it a thing? Is it a toy? Or is it a serious tool for CPD, and should we be conversing with each other? Now, I couldn't find this article when I went back, but John found it for me, and we've been in contact since. And his article started, I think there were 50 comments after his article, between us all, commentary between us all as to what we thought it would be. So I guess my job, since I've dived into everything I could find out about where it's taking place, and we opened a Google Fusion Maps. That's a very beautiful piece of software. I don't know if you use it, but I love it. It's spreadsheet geotags connected. So we opened a Google Fusion Map and started to fire in. I sat down last winter. So first winter, I just looked up everything about, you know, the people involved. Last winter, I sort of sat here at the dining room table where I'm sitting now and looked for every Teach Me I could find recorded in the UK between January and June of 2016. I had all the Irish ones. That was easy. We're small. Basically, we all live in the one wiki. We know John Heffernan sort of formed us into a tribe, and we all know where we're having our teach meets. And I began to see a kind of a pattern, which made me want to understand more. There is definitely a pattern of, say, in the UK, of teach meet becoming quite a common thing, 30 to 40 per month. That's a lot. Hmm. They're the recorded ones, which means there are more instances, but it's becoming a sort of after-school event for teachers to get together and with a cup of tea and share, maybe about 4 o'clock in the evening, share practice and then go home for the night. I see in Scotland, Northern Ireland, and here, it's more still, here I mean in the Republic of Ireland, it's still more of perhaps a Friday night thing, an unconference, back to the what it was called, you know, unconference eventing, and still more involved with maybe a teach meet afterwards and staying on to continue conversations in the evening time. Now, I can't prove any of that yet, but I'm gathering as much data as I can, and I'm enjoying that. So began to look at the whole unconference world and open space, which you all mentioned in the beginning, like open space technology, bar camps. I kind of grin when I think that Ewan McIntosh still giggles because, you know, he keeps pushing the point that Teach Meet is much, much older than EdCamp. Mm-hmm. EdCamp is, we're 2006, I think EdCamp came around 2010 or 11. But however, now when I really start to dig, say, into the academic world, EdCamp has had quite a few people study it as an academic CPD provision thingy. I'm just beginning to start to look at TeachMeet in that light. You know, PLNs, PLCs. I'm having great fun with the alphabet, John. It's COPs, you name it. I have a three-letter acronym for it. So I haven't got a research question. I'm skirting around the research question, but you yourself said CPD. CPD sits in my working title, Self-Organized CPD. The Teach Meet phenomenon is the working title I keep using. And I've spoken with Keith Johnson and Richard Millwood, my supervisors, where, you know, if you want to see, as you and I have spoken before about, does it have an impact in the classroom? You've got to start to do maybe a formal Kirkpatrick or Guskey study on it. These are the guys who leveled out frameworks for other people to use. Do you look at it as a community of practice? Does it have to have an impact in the classroom to be a good thing, or is it enough that it has an impact on teachers as professionals? That's where my head is swirling. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm very much an open source, you know, connected person myself. Anyway, these are the words that teach me. Even though it was there before we started to use connected and open in education, or maybe they were all born around the same time. I suppose I'm trying to find the niche. I'm trying to find its niche and see where does it sit as CPD. I believe it's CPD. I myself would use it as my CPD. I'm retired from the classroom, but I'm still going to teach meets.
I kind of always think it is continuous amateur development.
Yeah, can I write that down? I like that. That's really good.
But you know what I mean? I can't swear to this because the conversations have been mixed up in my life, but the idea, I think, early days of Teach Meet is CPD was seen by some people as something that was done to them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Teach Meet, the idea was CPD was something that's done to ourselves or done by ourselves. I think it's changed, and obviously what would be really interesting is the way that the events have changed. And I've seen ones which are the speakers are chosen already. I've seen ones with keynote speakers. all these things went against.
Walled garden.
Yeah.
There's a huge sort of branching of Teachmeet into something. Well, I tend to call it Teachmeet and Teachmeet style.
Mm.
And I've spoken with people. Some people actually put Teachmeet style very honestly on their event because they know it's not it's not open, it's not random, it's not the things that, you know, those adjectives that would have gone with Teachmeet in the beginning: simple, open, random, free. So I think sometimes people miss. I think one of the things, John, is there isn't a definition yet. Now, that can be a good thing, that can be a bad thing. There isn't an absolute dictionary definition. I'm having fun with that, and I'm pushing the OED all the time to try and get a definition from. So how do you define a problem like anything? But I like your continuous amateur development, or maybe instead of professional, personal development. I have watched people, this is what I'm interested in, I've watched people who've turned up very shyly and been, there's a the term enthusiastic lurker. Some people like it, some people don't like it, some people like passive, you know, passive participant. But I've seen people turn up maybe to two teach meets and not say a word. But then on the third occasion, they'll throw their name in the hat and have a go. And on the fourth occasion, they'll get involved in organising. And eventually, they'll fly and organise their own teach meet in their own area. And to me, that's the personal development part, that some teachers' voices are never heard anywhere except in their own classroom.
Yeah, I mean, I was really interested in a blog post Robert Jones wrote, I think. And Robert was involved in Teach Me Early Doors. He's now a head teacher, and he's very interested in impact in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And he, I think, suspects that Teach Me doesn't necessarily have a direct impact in the classroom, but what it did have was an effect on the teachers who were presenting.
Yeah.
And certainly, I think it gave people who would never have the opportunity to deliver something to do that.
I'm going to have to meet Robert Jones because I agree with him. It's more at the moment I'm thinking there's probably more of an impact in the staff room than in the classroom. Although that said, I did have one friend, Mary, who turned up to almost every teacher meet in Ireland she could get to, and she'd jot things down in her copybook. She'd bring her copybook with her, and she was towards the end of her career, but she always said to us, Monday morning, I will try some of these ideas with me. She used to say my boys. She taught young primary school boys.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I would meet her, she would report back about what went well and what didn't go well as to what she tried from the previous previous teach meet. So I guess my job, I suppose what I'm taking on is to try and see, is that impact there, or How do you measure the impact without becoming an outsider, without doing things to people? I'm very interested in the whole idea of, well, I don't know if I'm actually going to go into what's called appreciative inquiry, but where you do your impact study with the people who are involved, with my peers, with the people who are involved in TeachMeet. I'm hugely interested in the motivation of the organisers. We have 60 people in Ireland on a list of people who have organised teach meets. 2009. That's quite a lot because we only have 130 teach meets on the list.
Yeah. So
that's almost like, you know, a new person for every second teach meet. I don't know what it's like in Scotland or the UK. And I've organised quite a few myself, so that might skew the averages. But there's a huge number of people who've gone to a teach meet and said, I want one of those. I want me and my colleagues to experience that. And I'm hugely interested in the motivation of that person.
Yeah.
You yourself have been one.
I don't actually think I've ever organised a teach meet.
Apart from day one.
Well, I didn't really organise it. I've hung out on a lot. I've broadcast a lot.
Yeah.
I've helped. I've moved chairs. I have never been responsible for any money or talk to a sponsor or a whole host of things. I've just been around a few, and
that's interesting, isn't it?
I think I wasn't that interested in that aspect. You know, I'm more than happy to help out and have a chat and have a meeting about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I never have booked a hall or, you know, anything else along those lines.
That's interesting, because I always think that the Rubicon somebody crosses is the day they say, I'm picking a date and I'm picking a place.
Mm. No, I've never done that.
And they run with that. I do like, though, when I was reading back through things, somebody, I think, was it Ian Hallinan interviewed you at one stage? Was it 2010 or for Teach Me 10th birthday? And one of your points was that we shouldn't get too hung up on rules, regulations. Let it become what we need it.
I think
to become for the people we're inviting to it.
I mean, I think we've all got a tendency to be overly precious about what started as, you know, going to the pub and having a chat with other people who are interested in the same sort of thing. But I've also been entirely wrong, mostly, about the Teach Meet stuff, because when it started, the idea, you know, we started it as I think, edgy bloggers meetup.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, then there was discussion about what we should call it, and I was firmly in the camp that it should stay as, you know, blogging should be in there somewhere.
That intertwining with the technology is interesting, because at some stage we always say, well, no, the teach is bigger than the tech. However, if you go back through it, John, 2006 was a really weird year, and it really couldn't have been born before that. The technology, the connection through technology, and the fact that we can now leverage technology to, you know, to advertise it, to do our we've even gone beyond wikis at this stage into Eventbrite managers and stuff like that. It wouldn't happen without technology, and I really pushed Twitter there. It really wouldn't have grown as quickly, say, as exponentially, without the technology infrastructure or pathways, connectivity, whatever it might be. You can't underestimate that part of it. Not so much technology as the content, but technology as the framework or the holder for us all to, I mean, you and I talking here together 9 years on, you know, wouldn't happen if I didn't follow you on Twitter and know what you were up to, and vice versa.
Yeah, no, I think certainly for me, educational technology is one of the things I'm really interested in. I'm marginally interested in teaching as well, I suppose, because it's a day job, but I like technology, and I think one of the really interesting things is that people who are interested in technology are often seen as sort of antisocial or less than confident publicly.
And Teach Me
is the opposite of that, really, because
it is the opposite of that, and that sort of drives me crackers a little bit. Because one of the lovely, lovely things about TeachMeet, I'm going back to Ian Stewart now, who went on another really good blog post once, pushing the importance of the technology, making people who couldn't get to the TeachMeet get to the TeachMeet. He was on the Isle of Islay, and he had the capacity to listen in on TeachMeets because you were broadcasting them. Last Friday night, I was at a really lovely, beautiful TeachMeet down in Clare, but there were people around Ireland watching the Twitter timeline and tic-tacking in and out. And I often do it myself. I often sit, I might have a device open on the couch, and I'm following along. What are they up to in Newcastle? Or I think the power of the hashtag is really important. If there's anyone listening who wants to know the essence of TeachMeet, just look at hashtag TeachMeet. Just follow that timeline for a day or two, and you'll hear the thing you said. You'll hear, oh gosh, that was the best CPD I was ever at. Or you'll hear somebody saying, I'd never have known that, thank you for sharing it, whatever it might be. However, the big thing I'd say, much bigger than the technology, is what the technology's done for us and the connection it's made between all the teaching people anywhere in any country in the world can talk to each other, even though TeachMeet doesn't have. It has a logo. That's really important, I think. Whichever of you came up with that cracked font,
it might have been David Muir. It might be
Muir. Yeah, it might have been. And it's poison chalice, because it's actually very hard to find the cracked font if you don't have a Mac. But anyway, people get over this and they do their own thing. But apart from the logo and the name and the couple of rules, there's nothing incorporated about TeachMeet. All the other unconference formats, every single one of them, and I have been up and down every tree of unconference anywhere. I haven't done the two new ones. I haven't looked at BrewEdge yet, and I haven't looked at Pedago. But everything from, say, Open Space, which started it all, through Pekakuchas and Barcamps and Edcamps, they all have somebody who's in charge. Mm. You know, a place that you must go to get the logo and the permissions and whatever. What I love about TeachMeet is it has none of that.
Yeah.
So it's truly democratic. Have you heard of, there's the Australian TeachMeeters did a little sort of self-navel-gazing thing and came up with a fabulous, fabulous analogy. There's a book called The Starfish and the Spider. So if you pull a spider's leg off, you know, you're really causing him harm, and most organizations in the world are hierarchical, like spiders' bodies. But a starfish, if you take a little bit of a starfish, you know, it'll regenerate. Mm-hmm. It's each cell is the same and each cell is important. So there are only a few organizations that fit into the starfish mold, and TeachMeet's one of them. Wikipedia is another. The Orpheus Orchestra, the AA, and Alcoholics Anonymous. There are only a few really truly ground level driven organizations, and it's kind of cute to know that our little TeachMeet is one of those. So I'm kind of looking at that as, if it's going to be sustainable, is that what will actually sustain it? Is that it's not super organized?
Yeah, well, maybe, and it also lets it change and evolve, and obviously it does. And, you know, you'll see myself or other people grumping on about something not being in the spirit of or whatever. Mm-hmm. And other things come up. I think I feel Pedigoo's very much the sort of, more intelligent offspring of TeachMeet, I always say. it tends to have a better, more organised programme, for instance. It does different sorts of things other than just basically short talks. But it definitely came out of the TeachMeet movement, I think. You know, it feels to me very much like the same sort of idea.
Well, it's got the best name.
Yeah. I see it as, you know, one of the sort of children of TeachMeet, and I'm sure there's other things, and there's the way, you know, different TeachMeets go. You've seen some local authorities take it over and use it inside schools,
as opposed
to outside schools. I've seen educational organisations use it where they're just using the infrastructure to advertise a CPD opportunity where they've got people. But I think there's all sorts of really good things about TeachMeet, perhaps, and you can use parts of them in different ways, maybe.
And I don't mind. Some people, yes, within, say, an organisation, they say we'll have a TeachMeet. Really, they're not having an unconference type TeachMeet. Mm. They're having a mini conference. But it's good because, again, once at least somebody whose voice may not have been heard, the most junior member of staff, you know, may not have been heard before. Well, at least if management is looking, you know, towards the audience for, I think it was Ollie Bray, early days, shouted out Wiley's Law, you know, the sum of the knowledge in the audience is always more than the knowledge on the stage. And I think that's what TeachMeet does, is allows the audience to whichever of us said it at the very start, everyone who turns up is there to give as well as receive CPD, whether that be our CAD now, amateur development. So I don't get up in a heap when people get up in a heap about that's not a teach meet, because maybe it is.
The only one that I feel there's been a couple of big ones at Bet and things where they've actually had what they've called keynote speakers, and quite often these keynote speakers are people who have already got a really strong platform to talk. And that seems to me to be the sort of biggest diversion. One of the early teach meets as well I saw when Ewan was running it was he actually took somebody off stage because they were advertising something, in his opinion.
I was there, John, and I knew the person.
Yeah.
I knew. You know when we say that you've got 2 minutes or else you're off and that's fine, or if you start to advertise, you're off. I've never seen it happen before, like the Comedy Store, but I was wildly embarrassed because I actually knew the person who was advertising. That was bad. that was an embarrassingly bad night. But haven't really seen anybody else abuse their you know something? It's all down to the one person we didn't mention yet. It's all down to the curator.
Yeah.
It's all down to whatever we'll call it, the far and she or the ban and she here, you know, the MC for the night, or the person who's put it together. And if they put it together with, you know, serious, authentic caring for the audience who are coming, it'll be fine. It'll be fine no matter what set of rules they decide to follow. My favourite bit, and I'll probably finish on this because we're heading towards the end of the evening, but my favourite bit of any teach meet is, and this is what made me fall in love with it. I first saw this at the Scottish Learning Festival, round tables. It was like a wedding. I was tired at the end of the day. Should I go out for my tea or should I go to this strange thing that John Heffernan had told me about? And there were, Ewan introduced everybody. There was a fruit machine. There was random nano presentations. But it was the breakout in the middle. Mm. It was this strange marketplace thing where it was Ewan McIntosh was the MC, and he kind of shouted out and he said, okay, David Noble's going to talk about his research over there. Somebody else is going to talk over there. He sent us to four corners of the room and you could shuffle around. You could do the law of 2 feet, which I love. And I thought that was magic. We just had 15 minutes where we had a conversation about a topic of interest to the person leading this. I call them soap boxes. I know what anybody else calls them, but to me, that's the most powerful part of teach meet, is the beforemath, the aftermath, where you're all talking and be it in a pub or be it wherever, but that bit in the middle, which is fearful to a lot of CPD providers, very scary. Oh my gosh, are we going to let people talk about what they want to talk about? Are we actually going to let them have a revolution? But it never goes wrong. Everybody loves it. Maybe one or two people sit back, they're too cool for school or whatever it might be, but everybody dives in and has some people, of course, if you ever watch it, some people run around and get to them all. They actually need, they have that need to hear everything. But I just think when you get two or three teachers around a table eyeballing each other in a positive way, someone's leading the positivity of it. I think that's why I like, there's a research method called appreciative inquiry. It only looks at the positive.
Right, yeah.
And I think if we could, you know, maybe a bunch of people sit around and only speak the positives of Teach Meet and write them up, they'd have my research done for me.
So one thing that, I mean, we mentioned you in there, but he actually, I think, set the tone for a lot of these things in the early days. Yeah. And one of the things that I always liked about what he said was, feel free to ignore whoever's talking. Yeah. And that doesn't always work because it depends on the space. But certainly the one that we had in very early on in the Science Centre beside the SECC in Scotland, it was a very big hall. It had these round tables and you could very easily just step round the corner. You could step over to the bar, and without disturbing the other people who were listening, you could have a conversation about something else. And I think that freedom was really nice.
And I think that the fact that he made it very overt, and that is, it actually has a name. It is called The Law of Two Feet, and it does come from Harrison Owen's open space technology, and it's the most empowering thing you can ever say to people. Because funny enough, very few people step out or step away, but they're, you know, the fact that they can, or the fact that I've suddenly realised, well, actually what John Johnson's talking about isn't what I need to hear. I need to hear what Lisa is saying over here.
Yeah.
And that I've been given overt freedom to just wander from one to the other. Oh, it's wonderful. I think it probably is the key. There are probably only two rules in Teach Me, but that's key. I like the way in the beginning when you go back and look at all your writings and conversations that he's very honest about these things. He is saying, look, we're looking at open space here. We're looking at bar camp. Let's adopt the best that we can find in other things.
Yeah.
And let people take it from there.
I mean, I saw recently, I think it's Dean Groom in Australia, pull Teach Me up, basically, because he said they had, you know, borrowed all this stuff from other things, and, you know, lots of people used it as this sort of stepping stone out of the classroom almost. And I think at the start we were very acknowledging of Barcamp and the likes. We said we're using these models, so I don't think it really, you know, it wasn't. I think he was criticising people who said they were the, you know, the founders of TeachMeet. And to me, that probably is actually Ewan. I think he's got most of the credit, or should have most of the credit for it.
Well, he did. He was the, what I would call, the intellectual driver. Mm. I mean, there's no denying it when you read the stuff. Everyone else was in agreement and yes and supportive, but he definitely. I don't. Do you think this is an interesting one? Is Teach Me an ideology or a philosophy? Ian Stewart says it's an ethos, but if whatever it turns out to be, it's definitely, yes, it was driven by Ewan's the wisdom of the crowd, yes, but somebody had to poke them.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that was him.
He also held it together in the early days where it could have become sort of less democratic. It could have become more, sponsor driven, say.
Yes.
And it has in different places now, and that's fine, I think, because we established the principle, really, that, you know, a sponsor should, in my opinion, get their logo at the bottom of the wiki if they're very lucky.
Yeah.
And, you know, they should get to come along and chat, but they shouldn't get really to talk unless they're a non-profit or something like that.
And there are some lovely models, some lovely, lovely supportive sponsors of models of sponsorship. You know, people in that company really believe in TeachMeet and support it. Yeah, you're right about you. He led it. I love, as I said, I love the way Liz Bennett called it guerrilla CPD, but even guerrilla armies have somebody who's probably leading from the back or leading from the middle, but there is always somebody guiding it.
Yeah, well, I think we're lucky. We got you, and we got him at the right point in his career as well, I think, to do something like that. And
there's also a nice thing that he has a very light touch on it. I mean, he's doing his own thing, and he's just let it grow like the starfish.
Yeah,
as we all have, you know, we come in, we play our role, we do our bit, and then let the next person move it on.
Yeah, I think we've tried to herd the cats before in various ways. And I remember doing some stuff with you, and when we decided that the PB wiki wasn't really very beautiful. And I spent, you know, a wee bit of time, and Ewan spent some money with hosting and things, setting up a new site, which was completely ignored by everybody. Because they like the thing they've got.
The description I give of sometimes I'm a little bit OCD, and I find going into the PB Wiki, the original Wiki, find it kind of scary. It's like 9 or 10 teenage boys sharing an apartment in university. It's just like, oh, it's all over the place. It's so untidy. However, people are still using it.
Yeah,
I opened it tonight, and the latest Teachmeets have been thrown in there. So again, it's that thing of people voting with their fingers. They're going to the place where they need to go to get the word out, and they're untidy and all that it is. It's an incredible archive.
Yeah, of Malaysian spam mostly.
The oldest pages are dreadful and do need to have some sort of scimitar taken to them. But the front page is still showing the latest Teachmeets for those who use the wiki, for those who are advertised that way.
Talking of websites. Mags, we've got, I'm just following links from your site, magsammon.com/research.
Yeah.
And you've got some beautiful web things.
Oh, yes.
You've got
procrastinations.
The timeline is
one
of the nicest. I generally like web pages, but this is just great. It's lovely. And if anybody's interested in Teachmeet and how it moves, because you take it right back to the first use of the word weblog.
I know, it's so quaint.
You know, IRC, when it started, Open Space Technology in 1994, I think that's your first entry, and it goes through unconferences, Wikipedia, YouTube, Barcamp, and then into the Teachmeet, and as far as I'm aware, you've got every main...
Yeah, what I call the milestone Teachmeets, the first time it went to the Scottish Learning Festival, the first time it went to BET, the first time for each country that I could find. Now, everything is there at magsammon.com/research. I'm open to correction by anybody who knows better than what I could find. But John, who makes up these names? The timeline is called Tiki Talkie.
Yeah.
I mean, It's dreadful.
I suppose TikTok.
Yeah, but it is tidy and it speaks to my soul. Yeah, I did that one. I also played around with, now I know Drew Burrett, and a lot of people hate periodic table elements, but actually have a forgiving moment and have a look at it, because it shows a kind of a cyclical nature in Teachmeet, that when you're having one Teachmeet, you're actually setting up for others. You're setting up your audience to go off and go forth and multiply and have others. So although people cringe when they see a periodic table, it actually helped me to get my mind around, well, what elements do we need?
Yeah, I think if you just change the name, Drew would be fine.
That's true. It's the scientist in me. And
Mag's big table of...
that's the other one. That's the Mag's big table of open conferences.
Yeah. But
I love the terminology. The terminology is unbelievable. Like, I'm on conferences and niches my favorite word, I think this is what drew me in, was the word nano presentation. You could do justice to a subject in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And you can.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's the Twitter of presentations. And I also think one of the original drivers was we had been sitting around things like the Scottish Learning Festival listening to people keynoting for an hour.
Yes.
If you've been in education at any length of time at all, you have heard somebody talk for an hour about how people's attention doesn't last more than 7 minutes.
Yeah, and reading that to you from the slide on the wall behind them. However, can I throw something in? That Scottish Learning Festival in 2008, where I met Teachmeet, I also met the late Ian Smith from Learning Unlimited. I had a good day when I met TeachMeet and him as mm-hmm. well. So he was a pretty good keynote. So we won't do all keynotes.
No, I'm not. I just think it was...
keynotes down. But yes, I think there's a huge amount of reaction when people come from a TeachMeet, particularly in the early days. The sentence they were writing down was, goodness me, that was superb. People stood up, they informed each other, that we taught each other, and it, like, nobody had to sit and listen to something they didn't want to sit and listen to for an hour.
And no one get paid.
That's true as well. Although you did have the wonderful Will Richardson keynote at your first, which was kind of cute.
That was actually the very original TeachMeet. I think that's how it actually came about. Is it wasn't because there was nobody talking. We were all just talking in a big huddle in the pub. But basically, I think because Will was keynoting at the eLive conference in Scotland. The idea was, and this was again Ewan's idea, that if we had this meetup, the bloggers meetup, we would get Will Richardson along and we could get a good sort of jam going. But it wasn't really, I mean, it was just a bunch of folk in a pub and Will Richardson just happened to be there.
Yeah, he just got in with the people, and I think that's probably one thing that may have helped to set the tone the start as well. I mean, I've been to teach meets where the keynote for the conference the next day has just come in almost incognito and just joined in.
Mm.
So it's lovely. I like that. Can I throw something else at you? Gosh, no, you'll throw me off the radio.
No, just
I was doing a thing today. I was profiling the 60 people that I was looking at that have been listed as organising Teach Meets in Ireland. It's pretty much half and half gender wise, and it's very well spread out. Sector wise. But when I look back at the very start, and I think it may be something to do with blogging and IRC and the world you were living in, it seemed for the first 3 years it seemed quite blokey. Am I okay in saying that? It's an impression
so
sucked into me reading what I call the once upon a time blog posts of TeachMeet. Quite blokey in the beginning, and then all settled into Even Stevens after that.
I'm thinking that the first one in the pub, there was probably one or two women and half a dozen mm-hmm. guys. But the time it got to the Scottish Learning Festival, the first year when it was six or something like that, when it was in a very small room with I think David Wiley, so we had star bloggers for that one.
Mm.
By that time, if you look at the photographs of everybody, I'm looking at it now on Flickr, and yeah, it's mostly men. I'm seeing four out of 15 or something like that.
Am I right? And what I'm doing in my head is I'm saying, well, that was it, when I think back to going into what was the Sunday night EdTech Roundup and things like that. I would sometimes sit into EdTech Roundup, and I might be the only girl there. That online, the online blogging IRC world was generally at the time more of a guy thing.
Yeah.
And it's probably because everything's come out of the garage and out of the bedroom and out of the headset now. It's on your mobile phone. It's evened out gender wise. It seems to have there's no issue now. To me, there doesn't seem to be an issue now. But I can just get a blokey feeling from the first couple of years.
I think that's fair enough. I'm guessing more because it was a blog thing to start with, and the nowadays the online world's probably much more evenly divided, and that may be because, I don't know, Facebook, Twitter, things like that.
Yeah. Well, I can strongly remember my first Teach Meet at BET, one in Olympia, fabulous, fabulous big round tables, it was wonderful. But I can remember Lisa Stevens jumping up at that one to say, guys, I'm coming for you. It's been all guys. It's all fellows, you know, that are that presenting here. Here come the girls. And I was going, go, Lisa, I'm with you. And that was the end of it. Like, it, you know, we just, you were toast after that.
Yeah, so I think, yeah, having a wee look through sort of nostalgically the 2006 one, and there was a few women in that one, but probably, you know, 75-25 at the base.
I'm not going to be doing a PhD on a sort of postmodern feminist look at the Teach Meet world, but however, somebody might.
Yeah, wouldn't do any harm at all. But interesting. Yeah. Mags, we could probably just go on at this stuff for a year and a day.
But we won't.
Drifting further and further into nooks and crannies. But it's been fascinating talking to you. I'm really interested in what you're doing. It's lovely to hear from you. I hope maybe when you're a bit further down the line, you'd be interested in talking about it again.
I will. I need to crawl back into a library though and start to actually write down what I'm learning. It is interesting, but it's at the moment all I'm doing is talking. I actually need to go do some serious reading and writing.
Good. Well, it's delightful to catch you before you disappear into that. Then,
okay.
I gotta say thank you very much. We can find you, as you say, at magsalmon.com research, which is on the EduTalk post that will host the podcast, and you're also Mags, MagsAmond on Twitter.
That's me.
And again, we'll link that up. We hope to have the audio out in a day or two.
Super. And I'll be at BET, so hopefully I'll see a few friends there.
So if you've got strong opinions on Teach Meet, catch you up at BET.
Find me.
Very good. Okay, so I'm just going to hang up the broadcast now.
Slán, John.
And we'll see everybody later on. Cheers, folks.